Hope Room and flyers about that. It will be at the Bay's house, and if you would like to help with that, please see Gina Bay. Are there any other announcements this morning? Glenn?
PPAC is offering color purple. Half price, certain evenings next week for church groups of 15. If you would like to pop about $30 to see the color purple, they'd be in the fellowship room, Hope Room, that.
So if anyone is interested in seeing the color purple at the PPAC in June, please see Glenn Ramsey. Oh, okay, sorry, it's next week. Okay, coming up sooner. Any other announcements this morning? Okay. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let us worship the Lord of love together.
Thank you.
knows our hearts. Jesus offers mercy, kindness, and healing to all who seek it, even for the most terrible sin, betrayal, or failure. Therefore, let us openly acknowledge our sin to God, first in silence, and then praying the prayer of confession printed in the bulletin. Almighty and eternal God, we thank you that you have not left us alone in our sin and despair. Loving us, you have brought us good news and set before us the way of life. Yet we confess that we have failed to see the way. In stubborn pride, we have spurned your mercy and your help. In selfishness, we have turned away from those who need us. We have allowed ourselves to be crushed by troubles, as though Christ had not been raised at all. Forgive our faithlessness, and grant that we may know new life and hope in the spirit of resurrection. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship in a spirit of confession as we sing the song of confession, All in All.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all.
Compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He has risen from the dead.
He is Lord. Hey, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. All your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath. Why sorry if you will fool, all your wrath. Hey, koto jeni na beka, suno tetra mani na beka se, all your wrath. All your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath.
Why sorry if you are
sorry if you are
wrong.
All your wrath.
Koto jeni na beko,
suno tetra mani na beka se.
All your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath,
all your wrath.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He has risen from the dead.
He is Lord. Hey,
every knee shall bow,
every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Thank you, Jumpos. I don't know how you sing like that. This is the time in our worship that we gather together to share the way to the concerns of the few guests and out of the night from the long time. So, we gather together to share time to the way to the concerns and Pastor Dave and Lisa are in the
way through this week, so prayers for them in this wonderful time of recreation and reconnection with Dave's childhood friend and Lisa's adventure in that, and for us as a community as we are without his pastoral leadership in this week. Nancy Collins, our missionary to Egypt, who has been recalled from Egypt and has been discerning what her next steps in ministry are to be, and in mission, asks our prayers. She has been offered a new position as the mission personnel liaison for the Presbyterian Church USA in Central Africa, which does include Kenya, and she is pondering that move, particularly with Charles as a sophomore in high school, to start anew in a new place. So please keep her and Charles in your prayers as she discerns where God is calling them next, as they all discern as a family and her extended family as where God is calling her next. Are there other joys and concerns in the community today? Wait, I'll come back, Rob.
I have two joys to share this morning. It was our daughter's first birthday this weekend, so I'm excited about that, and the semester that has come to an end. And I'll also be traveling to Kenya for 3 months to do my summer research with AMPAD, so I'm excited about all that. So I'll be seeing you again in September. Thank you.
On last Sunday with us, and celebrations for the completion of the of her finals, and you can see by the big smile how well they went. Safe travels as she is reunited with that wonderful Kent family.
I'm still asking a prayer for a friend's son in Rhode Island Hospital. He's 6 years old in brain coma. He's in coma for 1 month now. So we need a prayer for him. Alfred.
Alfred. Prayers for Alfred and the 6-year-old in a coma now for a month. So prayers continue.
On the same note as Hans, I'd just like to offer a joy for the last 4 years I've spent in this church. Today is my last Sunday, I'm pretty sure, here in this church. So just praise the Lord for what he's done here. What he's continuing to do in this place. Awesome.
What a joy to have had Phil for these 4 years and here to bring perspectives from the community. And we wish you well as you move into what's next for you. And look forward to hearing more about it as you continue to be a light for Christ.
I need to be
again. Okay, Rolf is going to be a grandfather again. His son Rolf and his new wife are expecting a baby in March, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I would like to ask prayers for my friend Kiki and her family. On Friday, a member of her family was murdered, and there's been a lot of chaos going on. Just pray for them to have their judgment and find peace in the loss of their family member.
Prayers for Nalone's friend Kiki and her family in this murder on Friday, and for their wisdom and judgment and grief in these days. Others? Oh, there's Glenn. Glenn's waiting. Okay. Great to see Nancy back this Sunday and healing, and for the power of prayer and Glenn's patience, and prayers for Nancy's older brother who had the emergency surgery and is doing well. Great. Okay, others. Yeah.
Our niece is being married next weekend in Newport. Jim will be performing the ceremony between a high Catholic and a fallen away Unitarian. I pray that he will do a good job, and that family will either all be in church, and that means lots of relatives, or none of us will be here. We can't figure out what's going on yet. But pray for this wedding, and that, you know, Christ can be there with them.
What is your niece's name? The couple?
Sarah
and David?
I need to remember, she's a Duff.
Yeah. Sarah and David Duff. Being married this weekend, and prayers for Jim as he discerns how to weave that service together.
We thank God that he has led us down to our new house.
Okay. We praise God that God has led the Burkhardt Weber family, Langstaff family, to a new house. And so you can hear all about it from them after worship. Others.
Get my mic so you can hear. Let's pray. Oh God, we give you thanks. You are so good. Your love endures forever. Thank you for all the ways that you have answered prayers for the ways that you have upheld us and strengthened us. Your love endures forever. Thank you, God, for the healing of Nancy Ramsey in her shoulder and for answering prayers for patience and for kindness as they walk together. Thank you, God, for the new house for the Weber Langstaff family, and we pray that you'd give them great joy as they move in and as they renovate this new home. Thank you for Rolf and for the joy of anticipating a new grandchild in March. Thank you, God, for all the students who are graduating. Thank you for Phil in particular and for the 4 years that he's had with us here at Providence Pres. Thank you for your work in his life, and we pray that you'd bless him as he moves forward into new work and new journey with you. God, we thank you for all the students who are graduating coming up next weekend from Brown, for the students who've been graduating from RIC and other colleges in Rhode Island, and we pray your blessing upon them. God, we thank you for Ann and for your help in completing her finals, and thank you that she gets to journey home soon to be with her family. We pray that you'd give her a wonderful time with her husband and her daughter, and that you would bring her back here safely in the fall. Lord, we rejoice in those who are getting married and committing to a life of love together. Thank you for Jim and Sally's niece, Sarah, and for her fiancé, David. And would you be with Jim as he prepares for this wedding next weekend and give him wisdom as he prepares the service. And Lord, we pray that the presence of Christ would be there with them as they get married. Lord, we lift up many concerns to you today. We thank you for being with Nancy Ramsey's brother in bypass surgery yesterday. And we pray that you would heal him, that you would comfort him and be very close to him in this time. God, we pray for little Alfred, that you would bring healing to his body, and that you would be very close to his family as they are anxious for him and long for his health. God, we pray also for Nancy Collins. Thank you for her ministry in Egypt and for all the good work that you've done through her and her family. God, thank you for this new position being offered to her in Africa. And God, we pray for your discernment as she seeks to follow you where you're leading her. Give her wisdom about Charles and implications for him. And God, we pray that you'd open up the right doors for her and help her to know how to follow you in this time. God, we lift up Nalone's friend, Kiki, and her family. God, we know that you mourn with those who mourn. And God, we pray that you'd be especially close to this family and to all the friends who've lost someone that they love very much. And we pray, God, that you would protect this family and this community from any further violence, and that you would bring to justice the one who took another life. God, would you bring your peace and your kindness and your love to this situation? Give Nalone wisdom to know how to be a friend to Kiki in this time. And God, we lift up to you Pastor Dave and Lisa as they're traveling in Norway. Give them a time of refreshment and enjoyment as Dave spends time with a childhood friend. We pray it would be a great adventure, and be with us in our congregation as he's away. And Lord, we lift up to you all the concerns in the world right now. Lord, we thank you that you have the world in your hands and that you are making all things new, and we put our hope in you. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, we pray especially for talks this week between President Obama and Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu. We pray that you would guide the leaders in the Middle East in a way forward, and especially Israel and Palestine. God, we pray for the people and the government of Pakistan. We pray that you would rescue and protect them from violence and hatred, and that you would bring peace to Pakistan. And God, we pray for conflicts in so many places in the world, that you would bring justice and peace where it is not present right now. We pray for the people of Iraq, for Afghanistan, for Sri Lanka, for Zimbabwe, for Sudan, for Somalia, for Congo, and all the other places in the world that are wrought with violence and hatred and conflict, or different needs of hunger and poverty. God, would you protect and lift up the poor? Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you've extended your mercy and kindness to us, and we pray that you would help us to walk in your footsteps wherever you lead us, that we would know your kindness in our lives. And God, would you help us to reach out towards others and to feed the sheep that you have called us to. And God, we pray together the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hello. Hi. So I want to know something. Is there anything that you can think of that if you got a picture of it, someone gave you a picture, it would make you happy inside, it would make you smile? Can anybody think of anything like that?
Jay?
Money?
Okay, Jay, money. Okay, what about the rest of you?
Is there anything in your life?
No, there's nothing that would make you happy if you saw a picture of it? What about you guys? Anything? No, a person, maybe a pet, maybe a place you like to go, maybe a new house or a new room.
Nature?
Yeah.
Okay, so nature, something in nature. Does anybody have anything else that if they saw a picture would make them happy? Dylan, do you have anything? No, you guys are pretty quiet today. Well, I received a picture in the mail the other day, okay? And I'm going to show it, and obviously John is going to have seen this before, and I just want to show it to you. Here's a picture. Let's look at it. And when I got this picture, it made me smile. Okay? I got three of them here. Okay, someone want to hold it up so some of the adults can see in the back? Okay? Now, this is a place, and some of the teenagers have been to see this place. It's a place up in the lake in New Hampshire, okay? And it's been in my family for over 100 years. It was brought to my family by Jonik's grandfather's grandmother and her aunt. And one of the there's a little guy on top. Why is there a guy on the top of the roof of that little house? Anybody have any idea?
He's fixing the roof.
That's right, because that roof was getting leaky, and there's a lot of stuff in there, and so we sent him up there, and he made a whole new roof. But when I got that picture, I smiled, and I smiled not just because of the roof. I smiled because whenever we go there, there's a lot of things to do. It's an old house, and we have to take care of it. Okay, and what are the things we do? Well, you know, one of the things we do is when we go up there, there's a list. There's a list of things we have to do to take care of that place that we love so much. And one of them is wash windows. And Anne bought a window washer just yesterday. So that's what she's going to do. She's going to wash windows. And the other thing, we've over the last few years, every summer we go there and we paint it. So I brought a bucket of paint. I'm not going to open it. I don't want to get white paint all over the thing. But we like paint it. We paint it. And sometimes, you know, we'd like to go out and play in the water, or I'd like to go out my kayak and so forth. But you know, when you're painting something you love, it's not so bad. Yes, it's not so bad. When you take care of something you love, when you take care of a pet that you love, it really, it's something you kind of enjoy because it reminds you of that thing. Now, what does this all have to do with Jesus? Well, what it has to do with Jesus is Jesus told us, if you love me, tend my sheep. Now, did Jesus have sheep?
No.
So where are Jesus' sheep? Yeah, we're all Jesus' sheep, right here. Right? We're all Jesus' sheep. And so what Jesus is telling us, if you love me, if thinking about me makes you feel good inside, then what you need to do is go out and you need to take care of the things that are mine. Take care of my sheep. All right, so let's say a little prayer. Dear God, when we think of you, we think of all the wonderful things that you have brought to this world and all the wonderful things you've put into our lives. Help us to take that love that we have of you and turn it into things that we do to take care of your world, with the people in your world, the people that need help, with the environment around us, and with the church in which we meet and celebrate what you have done for this world. Amen.
All right.
Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. It can be found on your pew Bibles on page 109. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
continue this week in this series post-Easter of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus to his disciples and their word for us today. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last month, Pastor Dave and I had the opportunity to experience the Deep and Wide conference that had been in the planning stages for many months. The few of us who participated in that conference came together from many different places: Jamaica, Brazil, and Kenya, Anglos and African Americans, but with a common goal of seeking ways to reach out into the world, to share the message of Jesus Christ and to live it in ways that bring life and community. It was a rich, rich time. And we were reminded again and again by the presenters that stepping out in faith means risking the ways that we've done it before, and also not being afraid to fail, learning from our encounters with Jesus Christ in new ways and going even deeper. We live in such a time where those kinds of new directions are needed. And we see the power of this message in this text that we read today, in this encounter of Jesus with Peter, with a disciple who was not afraid to step out and risk, even when it led him into deep water, to reassess his abilities, to stretch and to grow, even to find his life in losing it. Peter is definitely a disciple for us who is not perfect, but called again and again to bring forth his best self, to follow Jesus, as Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs and shepherd my sheep," three times in this text. We see in this story the abundant, self-giving love of Jesus Christ that sets Peter on the journey and continues to seek Peter to come back to relationship even after his time of denial. Peter always seems to be in the middle of the gatherings of Jesus and the disciples, in the thick of the action, impetuous, risk-taking, and bold. Simon Peter is the one who confesses Jesus to be the Holy One of God. Peter is in that inner circle of disciples up on the mountaintop, but he's also famous for denying Jesus, a prediction by Jesus and a story recorded in all four Gospels. Yet even from the beginning of these ups and downs, Jesus sees the promise of Peter. He knows that Peter will deny him, but he also knows that upon Peter, the rock, the church will be built. He knows that this Peter, who loved the rules and passionately seeks to bring the message of salvation primarily to the Jewish community, is also the Peter who will be transformed in a dream to a deeper vision of God's love for the whole world, a transformation of his idea of what is thought to be clean and unclean, who is in and who is out. Are we a people willing to risk such transformation? We learn in this text that it's not easy to accept the challenge to love that Jesus calls us to. Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love?" And the Greek word is agapas, or agape, me. Agape, that self-giving and sacrificing love that reflects the love that Jesus shows to us and was commonly considered the highest form of love in the Christian life. It's a word used over and over again in John's Gospel. "Those who love me will keep my word, and loving me will be loved by the Father. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." A call and a challenge for the disciples to grow in love, or agape. This week's text was a very good chance for me to dust off the Greek skills that were required in seminary of me, and there was a lot of dust. the word love that we read in this text, and you may take a look at it in the many times that Jesus brings it up, that is translated uniformly in this English text, reflects two different Greek words. Jesus says to Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Most likely he's asking, "Do you love me more than these other disciples do, more than the other disciples love me?" But it's not clear. It could be, "Do you love me more than you love these guys? Do you love me more than the boats and the fishing, more than going back to your old way of life that you had before you even met me? In other words, are you still so ready to follow where I will lead you and where I have?" There are times in our lives when we are very excited about following Jesus. And I must admit, when you guys surprised me on the 20th anniversary of my ordination, that was one of those times for me. I thought, yes, I'm ready to keep following. When we first hear the call, oftentimes, but other times when it's not so easy for us. When illness or loss of a job comes, when business fails or marriage struggles, when our plans seem to be interrupted, or we see places of incredible tragedy and pain in our world in new ways and with new eyes, in times when following Jesus might cost us something that we hold very dear. Remember, it is in such a time in our story today that Jesus comes to the disciples in surprising ways, as they are still reeling and fearful that the Messiah that they have walked with and loved has been killed. But no, he lives. It's such a message also for us. So Jesus says, "Simon, son of John," using Peter's original name, "do you love me?" Agapas. And Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." However, what's missed in the English translation is that the word that Peter uses is the word philo, not agapes. The Living Bible paraphrase kind of captures it rather elegantly, I think. It says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter replies, "Yes, Jesus, you know that I'm your friend." We know from earlier in John that Jesus has called the disciples to a radical new understanding of friendship, to a love and willingness to lay down one's life for the other's friends. And yet this love, this agapes that Peter, or this philo that Peter professes here, is not quite the fullness of that agape love, a self-emptying love that reflects the love that Jesus shows. Agape is a love that gives without expecting anything in return, which is truly a countercultural message, particularly in a society where we often ask, "Is it really worth my time? What's in it for me?" But I think it's the kind of love that makes it possible for us to continue to provide help and encouragement to Camp Street with volunteers on Tuesday and the third Saturday of every month. I think it's the kind of love that calls forth a different group of people to assist the Tondorea family each and every Wednesday evening as they adapt to life in Providence and grow in English skills week after week for more than a year, and to continue to seek ways that we might reach out to the least of our communities. I think it may even be the kind of love that called Cheryl Mason to spend last Friday night on the floor of Mystic Aquarium with a group of girls she'd never met before. It's the kind of love I think we're also often called to be with our children, particularly when they enter those teen years and begin to launch their own lives. It's a love that challenges you and me to reach out in a myriad ways to help another, to offer a kind word, a word of hope or encouragement or prayer to Kiki and her family, a ride or a meal to one who is in need or hurting. When we meet with inquirers in this class who are seeking to learn more about the life and ministry of the church, we often say to them, "This is a church where you will be asked
to exercise your gifts. So if you want to be invisible, you better find another church. Perhaps God is even calling you on a mission to mow this summer. And if you say no, we will certainly come back to you again, if not with the same request, maybe a different one. You don't end up in this church on some list of people who always say no, somehow immunized against any further calling. We will be back. Like Jesus comes to Peter 3 times and recognizes the philo in the last question of love. Jesus is both accepting and challenging Peter to more. I think that's why Peter felt hurt, or literally was grieved in the word in Greek, when Jesus asks the 3rd time to him, "Do you philo me?" reflecting the current place of Peter's love. Yet still, Jesus wants Peter to follow him, to feed the lambs, to shepherd or tend the sheep. Jesus stays in relationship and calls him to a task, a very important one, to feed Christ's lambs, to shepherd the sheep. And there is much to be done. As one commentator puts it, Jesus describes Peter's ministry in verbs, not nouns. Our church intern, Kathy, put it this week in our reflection on the text together at our staff meeting. And this is Kathy's last summer in a very public role, or last Sunday with a very public role with us in this year of internship, which has gone so fast. It's been a joy to have her in those Tuesday reflections of Scripture as we come together and look at the text for the day. Because she pointed out something to me I'd never seen before in this text, and that is that perhaps Peter's coming to realize his own gifts and limitations, to honestly respond to Jesus, and to grow in his own self-understanding of his abilities. And yet even in that, Jesus still trusts him to carry the message, to do the work of ministry and mission. And Peter moves into that task in many, many ways. Jesus has many sheep, we read in John, many, many sheep who we too are yet to meet. Jesus says earlier in John's gospel, "I have other sheep who do not belong to the fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." And it is into this sheepfold that Peter is called, as we will learn in Acts as his ministry evolves, called into new directions of ministry and outreach. Jesus will stretch us in new directions as we mature or grow old in him. I know that he has me even in these years that I've had of ministry. As we grow older, and dare we hopefully say more mature in Christ, it is so true that it is no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And may we find ourselves in places where we are being led into places we had never imagined, or places we never thought we would be. That is truly a countercultural message, that the deeper we draw near to Christ and into Christ, the less we are the ones in control of where that will lead us when we follow. Those who follow Jesus Christ will lose their lives, Jesus tells us. We saw last week in the story of Thomas that it is a very real thing to doubt and to have questions in faith. But that with God there's also the power to walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus challenges Peter in this text to continue in that walk with a challenging love and a task to reach out into a hurting world. Let us also be a people of love, growing wherever we find ourselves, for the Jesus who meets us as we are never leaves us the same. Amen.
Let us stand together to say the affirmation of faith found in your bulletin. from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us.
Get it down, hand me down my silver trumpet, Lord.